You are listening to the Sacred Geometry Portal podcast, where each Monday musing plus one in-depth interview per moon takes you through the portal to the patterns of nature, the architecture of the cosmos, and the divine language of our minds. Your host, Elizabeth Diane, expands your perception of the world and the awe of creation. With a light heart, she encourages an exploration to find the truth as it is evident to you. Every episode opens doors to self-empowerment, demystifies the power of symbology and archetype, intersects relationships with matter and spirit, then circles back to ground in these seeds of life into the kind of wisdom you can apply to your being, soul, and purpose. Welcome to the Sacred Geometry Portal podcast.
Hello, Sacred Spheres. Happy Monday. And today I'm really feeling excited to share with you my recent inspiration this last week around and within the number 9. Oh man, 9s are so amazing to me. And as it relates to sacred geometry, it's very practical and yet very elusive at the same time. So strap on your seatbelts as I spiral around in this great number. Maybe you want to hold on to the sides because this might be like one of those spinning circus rides in your mind. But it all is centered around the heart and source and access to the portal of all that is. Okay, this sounds really fantastic, right? But it really is. So, yeah, the number 9 and my musings around it. Oh my gosh, the number 9. When I was young, when I was really young, like the day I was born was on the 9th. And so the 9's been with me for a long time. And as a kid, of course, 9 was my favorite number because it was my birthday. And then a little later, I think early teens, it became a scary number because people at the time were talking about the Beatles. And I forget what song it was now that some people were saying, if you play it backwards, Paul keeps saying number 9, number 9, number 9. And the stories around it were very scary, you know, because it was alluding to something demonic. So, you know, if you've listened to me for a while, you know that I'm always advocating for reclaiming your power and defining your own truth based on what is self-evident to you, and whether that comes through a spiritual or religious context, a spiritual leader, a teacher, a preacher, or your own just observations of nature, research, whatever, it's yours to decide. Anyway, there was a lot of drama around the number 9 at that time in my life. But when I came back around to my fascination with geometry and started diving into sacred geometry, I also came across, you know, so many powerful things like Vedic math and Vedic architecture, which is really how I got inspired to name my design business Lucid 9 Design. In the Vedic architecture, they base everything on a 9-square grid. And if you have 9 squares arranged with, you know, 8, it's really 8 around 1. And that center one, of course, is an open square. So in other words, it's not the crossing of 2 lines. It's the, you know, the 4 crossings of lines surround it. So this means it lets Brahman in, which Brahman, of course, is light. And of course, Lucid is another, its origins or etymology mean essentially light. And so the architecture to have an opening in the center is light connecting to divinity, to source, to illumination. And I like that. I like basing designs on that. That's how I get inspired, right? Anyway, at the same time, you know, studying sacred geometry and drawing a nine-pointed star and understanding how to draw it with a compass and a straight edge. And to do that, essentially you start with a triad. You know, well, you have your circle and your triad. And as I mentioned before, there's not one before the other, even if you draw one before the other. You have to have 3 points or a triad to define a circle and vice versa. But in this case, you draw an equilateral triangle within the circle and divide the circle into 9 equal parts by using that first triad and then drawing a second triad, you know, just mirrored, so you end up with a star tetrahedron. And then from the intersection points of the star tetrahedron, you can extend lines that create 9 points around the circle. And then when you look at those 9 points around the circle, and if you were to number them clockwise around the circle, so that the 9 is at the top of the circle where on a clock you'd normally have the number 12. And then to the right of that, you would have the number 1. And then continuing clockwise around, continue your numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, back up to number 9 at the top. And then you see that the number 3 and the number 6 fall on the bottom 2 points of that first equilateral triangle. Now, this was back in, I don't know, 2006 or something that I was drawing this. I don't know if that's relevant or not. But anyway, it was a while ago. And I just remember discovering Nikola Tesla around that time and amazed that he had this incredible technology. And one of his famous quotes, I'm paraphrasing, is something like, "If you only knew the magnificence of the 3, 6, and 9, you would have the keys to the universe." And that really stumped me at the time, and sometimes it still does, but I've learned a lot since then. And one of the things I've realized, well, I kind of dove down the rabbit hole of the Rodin coil, and that's all over the internet if you want to look it up. It's R-O-D-I-N, coil. And this coil is essentially creating a torus, but it's based on the Vedic math or vortex, Vedic vortex math, I think is how it's termed. And essentially it is this circle of nines that I just described, where you have the 9 at the top and you number it as I described, you know, going clockwise. And you take that triad with the 9 and the 3 and the 6. And then the other points would be the numbers 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8. And those 6 numbers, if you were to connect those, like connecting the dots, you could connect them so that they create like an infinity symbol. And they kind of just overlay that triad of the 3, 6, 9. And really that 3, 6, 9 then becomes like the background field or the quantum field. And the numbers 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8 become like the material world. And I'm just describing this really briefly, but It's a cool thing that Marco Rodin figured out how to create this coil that when it's given a little juice, a little energy, then will create a levitation field. Like if you put like a little sphere in the middle, it will like spin and levitate. There's been many, many scientists and physicists who have played around with this and created some really cool energy fields that do some interesting things. And I've always been one pretty passionate about finding alternative energy sources and being a building designer, not a licensed architect, but I do incorporate sacred geometry into architectural designs. And in doing so, I've always been fascinated with how do we both build and create homes and businesses and cars, of course, that do not destroy the planet, in order to obtain heat and light and power. Well, I got pretty excited when I started to hear about different inventors that, came up with different solutions. But of course, I also became a bit angry to learn that so many of these, or actually pretty much all of them, are suppressed. As I'm sure most anyone listening to this podcast already understands, there's a lot of investment and money driving the oil industry and coal power and hydro and, all of that that's already in place, that has a whole lot of investors that demand their financial return at the expense of the environment and human and animal lives. And I'm not trying to create anger. Certainly it gets frustrating sometimes, but it's just what we're dealing with right now. But, this last journey of mine up to Washington State was inspiring to me because I got to visit a friend of mine who has studied a type of plasma technology that was open sourced a while back. The man who open sourced it is named Mehran Keshe. He was a nuclear physicist, or at least his father was. He seems to understand a whole lot about plasma energy. And I listened to him for a while. It was very fascinating to listen to. And I actually had a nephew who started developing some of his technologies to experiment with. And he was keeping records of how it was actually decreasing his power bill every month, and it was just like slowly growing an energetic field that was showing him that there was something really there. And I had also seen evidence of that. So anyway, I'd gotten to experience a little bit that showed me, there's really something happening here. Anyway, my friend that I caught up with back in Washington State had some new devices that he'd been working on. And this man, I won't say his name, he doesn't have public information out there. So many times these things are word of mouth for good reason. He's helping people with his devices that he's building. And he can continue doing so if he keeps, a little bit of a low profile. Just amazing work. His device, though, was so cool because he said that he would just get these downloads of what to do next. He took the initial technology from Keshe, and then he applied some of his background in the medical field and, physiology. And he applied that knowledge and got, these just downloads from source, I think he would say, or his higher self, maybe. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but every time he'd get a download, he'd go back into the shop and put it together just the way he was being told or shown, or, you know, how he would envision it. And he said every single time he'd do something new, it'd work out great. And then he'd realize, again, it was based on the number 9. The whole device is just full of the number 9. But he never did it in a logical, analytical way. Again, it was very intuitive. And it was, you know, of course, based on the background that he had. And that just really inspired me. I got to sit in this device and really sense a lot of powerful energy. And it felt very calming, light, refreshing, beautiful, harmonious, really wonderful. I just wanted to stay in it. And then he showed me some of the successes that he'd had with people who sat in that device, you know, more than a couple of times. But, you know, after a few visits, seeing vast improvements. And so I got inspired to share this with you about the power of number 9 and that Nikola Tesla really had some things, you know. I was also kind of blessed to have had some time with a Native American person who I also will not name, but who I met very synchronistically after a sweat lodge a while back. And he happened to be wearing a pendant at the time that was just the number 9, but it was in the same font as the 9 in my logo for my business, Lucid 9 Design. And when I saw that, I was just like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, this is really wild. But I didn't think too much of it at the time. I was just kind of like, wow, that's really wild to be here at this sweat lodge and then seeing this pendant on this Native American person who was helping tend the fire. Anyway, afterwards we got to talking because I had to say something about his pendant, and he happened to have his little iPad with him, and he whips that out of nowhere and starts showing me a number sequence that he had come up with. And that led to a technology that he had come up with based on, of course, the number 9 and the 369 and his understanding of the power of the sun and the earth and the water, the elements, right? And it was like this synthesis of ancient wisdom with the patterns of nature and a device that he came up with that I got to witness and experience. I don't know where it is now. I guess it was important for me to lose contact and have this technology. You know, I don't know if it's going to be ready to come out soon or not, but it's out there. It's super cool. It's super cool to know and be re-inspired with the understanding that we can create better technology for the planet, and that we already are this technology. And I think that's one of the important messages I want to convey today, is that while we may be inspired with this technology that's developed, human developed, and that exists, you know, kind of seemingly outside of us, right? This is also reflecting back technology within us. And I know I've talked before about, you know, the vortex and toroidal fields through Meg Benedicte's work. And she's been on my podcast, and with Seth Adam Hargett, who has the OmniCore based on similar technology. And he also talks about how important this is to realize that this vortex field is both within us and seemingly outside of us, around us. It appears outside and inside. It's reflected within and without, just like the pulsing and the inhale and exhale, so to speak, the waves of going out and coming back in, that are the energy and, you know, and the spirals that create the vortex and the torus, that are the underlying motions that are spinning around the framework of sacred geometry that creates matter and gives us this material world to experience with our five senses. So with that, I leave you to ponder and contemplate, what can we do with this? And if I can encourage one thing, I would say, embody it, go within with this idea in any spiritual practice that you might have in drawing it. If you'd like to join me in drawing sacred geometry and exploring the number 9 and the Taurus field in the practice that I offer, or in whatever way calls to you, I will be continuing to offer more drawings through my Patreon, and I will be presenting a sacred geometry workshop here in Mount Shasta this summer at the 777 Mount Shasta retreat. That is mostly the work of Meg Benedicte, who has us sitting in this toroidal field that all I can say about it is that I've experienced this before I even met her, that we do have this toroidal field around us, and we can activate it to function in more powerful ways than if we're not aware of it, you know. So with that, may you be lit up, and may your mind be expanded in ways that serve you and all of life in the most benevolent ways possible. So much love and blessings for a beautiful week. Thank you.
This podcast has been a production of Sacred Geometry Portal. Dive deeper into the portal by subscribing at sacredgeometryportal.com. Find opportunities to learn directly with Elizabeth by going to Sacred Geometry Portal on Patreon. Infinite fractal blessings, and thank you for listening.